Crane. Welcome back to Turbocharge Your Brand TV. This is part two of How to Win a Reality TV Show. So if you've ever wanted to be a winner on American Idol, Britain's Got Talent, Ready Steady Cook, Survivor, The Dragon's Den, or any of that stuff, you've got to watch this show. All the juice, all the gossip, and all the little secrets are revealed now. Turbocharge Your Brand TV.
Spent their blind date in Lapland.
Snow, snow,
snow,
snow,
snow.
Snow. It won't be long before you will be there with snow.
Snow, snow. I want to wash my hands, my face and hair with snow.
That's what I call a very cold shower.
Snowing all winter through, that's where I want to be.
Snowball throwing, that's what I'll do. Oh, I'm longing to ski through the snow.
Right, left, right,
left.
Oh, my mum's not watching this.
All right.
Now that's a stag night. It's easy when you know how. You just get the grip of it. You just make sure you're clean when you go around the corner. I haven't even brought the dog license.
Fantastic.
It is fantastic if you're down there. Have we got funny looking bums from here? We've got a red fix on this.
Wolves are good to be alive. Motorbiking. 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 Motorcycling. Moving on the Queen's Highway. Looking like a cigarette.
That was real fun.
It was brilliant.
And he sounds like a piggyback.
Take me away.
You better leave it. We'll go back.
Oh. Yeah!
Well, Mass and Dave, it was all go in the snow.
No,
when you're
not kidding.
Yeah, when you thawed out, did you warm to each other? Shall we find out?
I hope you enjoyed that. Now we're going to return to the last part of it later on in the show, but I want to share with you now 10 things you need to have in your mind if you're going to survive a reality TV show, and you'll find out exactly how I used all those 10 things to do well on Blind Date. All that coming up next on Turbocharge Your Brand TV. Number one, ask yourself, what do I want from this whole experience? Do I want to be famous? Do I want to just have fun? Do I want to make money? Do I want to make more friends? Do I want to have lots of fans? Do I want to emigrate? Do I want to prove a point to all the people around me? Keep that in mind and make that your goal, because you're going to be on a roller coaster ride where everything is going to be thrown up in the air. You won't know where you're going or where this is heading. The only thing you can keep is what it was you were after in the first place. Once you know that, stick to the plan. Stick to that.
When the screen went back, I'd heard her voice, and I thought she was gobsmackingly good-looking. She was incredible when the screen went back. And I was well chuffed. I thought she was really nice.
When the screen went back and I saw Dave for the first time, I thought, oh my God, he's the same height as me.
Number two, make professional media contacts at every single stage. Make sure you collect business cards. Make sure you tell people before you go on the show that you're looking towards doing A, B, C, and D with your career. So at the very worst, you can come back and say, right, following up with that advice, I've now won this show. What do you think I should do next? Talk to as many people as you can do who can keep shtum about it, but stay within the legal amounts, because when you've signed the contract to say you're going on, you can't say anything else about it. You have to keep it all to yourself.
One of the problems, I think, was Mass keeps falling asleep all the time. She's like a dormouse. On the plane, we were travelling through, and she said, tell me about your lifestyle. So I started going on about my 27 years of existence on the planet, turned around, and she was fast asleep. Oh, thanks very much.
So anyway, I said, if you don't like it, it's off. I decided I was going to go, and I've always fancied, like, going away for Christmas, and Lapland sounds like a great idea. And that sort of brings me up to date. That's my whole life story.
Number three, get professional advice. Talk to agencies, management, who can tell you what you should and shouldn't do on that show. But also, you might need to seek a psychiatric help. Honestly, I'm not saying this in a horrible way. If you go on Big Brother, they have psychiatrists who are vetting everybody. Because let's face it, you're going to get thrown into a room in a building that everybody's going to watch everything that you do, everything that you say. And if you're having a good day or a bad day, they're going to know, and they're going to comment, and they're going to laugh at you, and they might even kick you out as a result of it. You could do with somebody supporting you and telling you how to get your mind right. At the very least, doing stress management exercises, learning to breathe properly, do yoga or meditation. Honestly, it sounds daft, but you might need that just to get through the whole process and beyond. Number four, have plan A, B, and C. Plan A, what if it goes well and you become a superstar? How are you going to deal with that? Plan B, what are you going to do if you lose and nobody cares about you? Are you going to be able to survive with the humiliation of that? Or plan C, what if it goes ugly? What if something really bad comes out of it and everybody, from a different point of view from being on the show, discovers something about you that they really don't like? Are you going to be able to deal with that? Number five, remember there's a broadcast delay. You might film it, and it might be on 5 weeks later, or it might be live as you do it, but you might not find out the results from people later on. At every stage, it'll have a knock-on effect on your life, on your personal life, on your business, and on your career. You might find the show's coming out in 6 months' time with a new season of, I don't know, some cooking program or some business program, in which case your existing customers who've signed up for you might find out from the judges that you're a complete idiot. Might not be a complete idiot, but the judges might think so, in which case are they going to stay with you in business? Was it worth the risk of doing it in the first place? Think about it. Work out exactly how that fits in for you.
Dave would probably say I was like bagpuss because I slept so much and I ate so much. But he doesn't understand it was the extremes of temperature. You'd go out and it was minus 40 and then you'd go in, it was boiling hot. I just wanted to sleep.
Matt and I went dancing one night and everyone was waltzing, but I like dancing. I thought I'll give anything one try. And I asked her to dance, and I don't know whether it was the fact she was cold or she wasn't in the mood, but she said that she didn't want to. So I left it alone. By the end of the night, she'd danced with every man and his husky.
David didn't try it on with me at all. That's because I didn't give him the chance to. I'm a very sort of warm, touchy, sort of physical person, and I wasn't that way with David at all. I just didn't want him to have the wrong idea.
Number six, and I keep harping on about it, could you survive the worst case scenario? If you lost all your friends, you lost your job, and your family weren't talking to you anymore, could you survive? This has happened to many people as a simple result of being on a reality TV show. When things go wrong, everyone gets to see it. Warts and all. Even your good bits, even your quirky bits, everyone gets to see it. The TV producers are looking for exactly that point from you. So could you survive all that? And if so, how do you do that? Number seven, the way to really boost you after being on a reality TV show, grab social media, use Facebook, use LinkedIn, sign up for groups, get as many different opportunities with a fan page as you can do to drive a tribe for your business or your industry if it's that kind of show that you're going on. If you're launching yourself as an entrepreneur or as a cook or as anything, then you need to have the ability to get more people who are interested in you to find you afterwards.
The most irritating thing about Mass for me was the fact that despite the fact she was very good looking, and she was very nice, and she giggled all the time at all the right funny bits, it got a bit tiresome after a while. She was too nice. I would have liked a bit of a darker sense of humour in there as well. I suppose it's like fast food. You go and you get yourself a nice burger, but it goes cold after 3 minutes, and it doesn't leave you very full.
And I've never met Dave before, and I'd seen him there, then I probably wouldn't talk to him.
If I met Mass in a nightclub, I would have steamed straight across, because she is very good looking, and asked her to dance, and seen how it would have gone from then. And if it hadn't gone anywhere, I would have dropped her and moved on to somebody else. As it happens, we didn't get that close, and we didn't get that far. And so she missed out on meeting the sexual heavyweight champion of the Western world.
Number 8, within reason, tip off the media. Tip off the people who are interested in you to look out for you. Yes, you can video it and you can send it to them, but there's a shelf life of everything. So if you can do legally, just let them know to keep an eye out for you because something's coming up. You might not be able to say what that something is, but you can say, at this time on the show, you will see me do my very best stuff. And you might see it for the very first time yourself. Let them know, let them be expecting, because if they're in business, they're already thinking about how to market and work with you.
My type of men that I go for from the one extreme to the other. But if I did have a type, I don't think Dave would be one of them.
If I hadn't met Mass on blind dates, I would have blown her out a lot earlier. Because, nice to Lily, she's a good friend, and I've got lots of good friends. I didn't come on blind date necessarily to meet another one.
Number 9, offer them a second cup. Think about it. In business, so many people spend a fortune trying to market to new markets, whereas the smart money is actually getting existing customers. Supposing somebody bought a cup of water off you, get them to buy a second cup, because they've already bought one once, so the odds are they're going to want to buy more than one. So think about what your reality is going to be after this show. Is it going to boost your business? If you're a plumber, is it going to be? Are you going to be able to say, yeah, I was a plumber who was on that show all about plumbing, or I was a cooking plumber, or whatever it is that you do, think about how you can give a second slice of your existing business thanks to that show. And start working on that as your big plan, because you never know, after the show, you might have to go back to it. But this time, enhanced and shiny, because you're famous.
I don't think I've ever dreamt of anywhere more beautiful than where we went. It was just fantastic. And there's no way that you could go someplace like that with somebody and not enjoy it. And, you know, it was brilliant. We had such good fun. We really did. But there was no romance.
At the end of the day, I think all that we had together was we'd been on the same date. And she's a nice lass, but I think if we'd stayed together longer, she would have got my nerves. Big stuff.
And number 10, the most important thing out of this entire series all about winning a TV reality show is enjoy the ride. You only get to do it once unless there's something really wrong with you. The good bits, the bad bits, the ugly bits, they're over before you know it. And you might have that reputation for the rest of your life. You might be able to work with it for the rest of your life, or maybe you just want to forget. But enjoy the ride and the entire experience, because it is unique, it is different, and just like a lottery winner, they tend to lose all their money after they are on the show and they get all their money. They tend to be in debt afterwards because their mindset wasn't right. Get your mindset right from the very beginning. Know what you're going into and know how to get out the other side. And good luck. So now comes the last part of how to win a reality TV show, and I'm going to illustrate everything by telling you exactly what happened to me and showing you the final clip of me on blind date. Very, very simple. The girl hated me, the audience didn't know what to make of me, and I know that the presenter, Cilla Black, is a very funny lady, very expert presenter, but she will let you say what you need to as long as it's funny. If you can keep the funny going, get the audience to like you, then the people at home are going to think you're great. But if you get it wrong, they're going to boo you. And also, if you run out of things to say, then she will take the show back, she'll finish it off, and you'll have missed your opportunity, your one-time opportunity, to prove that you're a good person. So in this, I had a very simple thing. I had to prove that I was a good guy, it didn't matter whether she liked me or not, that I was funny, and people missed out on the opportunity to know that, and keep the whole thing going, get the audience to like me enough to allow me to survive the show. This is what happened.
Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear.
Ha!
Oh, what can I say? What can I say?
What can you say? I mean, well, I think the problem started on the plane.
I think the problem started when the screen went back by the sound of it.
Well, why did you persevere?
Because it was so cold. You go outside and I couldn't run fast enough to catch reindeer. There's no other females around. What can I do?
Massey didn't make the effort. I mean, even in the club, when you went dancing, they played waltzes, you know, and you refused to dance. And in your words,
actually,
Dave...
Actually, you didn't ask me to dance.
I did ask you to dance. First
thing when we steamed in, I thought this will be a bit of a giggle, and you went,
no way, he's a liar. He's a liar.
Well, what about all the men at the end of the evening? In his words, you danced with every fella and his husky.
And in the villages all around, you know, with the huskies and stuff queuing outside, I can't believe it.
And she danced with them all.
Sorry?
Did you dance with them all?
No, I didn't.
No, the nightclub closed.
You said on film that, I mean, she was smiling and giggling all the time. And it was beginning to whir you down.
Well, there's one thing that hasn't been mentioned, right? And I'll show you. If you sit next to Mass and you go... that is what happens. Now, one little clue from that. One little clue. She hates whistling. Now, she hits you if you do it. Now, I can see it when we get married, obviously. Two years down the line, that'll be a thumb on the head. 5 years down the line, when there's loads of little kids running about, she'll be running through the house with a baseball bat saying, "Oh, whistle, there's one of you!" Look.
I can't stand whistling. It does my brain in. And when I...
Oh, stop it!
One, two, three.
You asked found it, out that I hated whistling, he did it more and more and more.
But I did the rest of it from out of arm's length so she couldn't hit me, so I was all right.
Now, Dave, you said that you fancied her when you first saw her, and since then she says she couldn't fancy you in a million years. How do you feel about that?
I can live with that. she's lovely. She's a really nice lass, and somebody out there will be the ideal husband for a short while, and I think...
Well, thank you both very much for coming back on Blind Dave and telling us all about it. Ladies and gentlemen, Mass and Dave.
So what happened next? Well, very simply, I lined up all my videos of the show and I sent it off to tons of different TV shows and I sent off letters to tons of agents, all the ones that I could find. But in those days, it was snail mail, a physical envelope. There was no email, there was no internet that you could contact people on. So it took me a long time to get replies back from people. I was lined up to be a presenter on 4 different shows. They were very interested in me at MTV, The Clothes Show, Don't Forget Your Toothbrush, which is a comedy show, and Breakfast Television. But then, from out of nowhere, it became, thank you, Dave, but right now we're not hiring anybody. From out of the blue. It was really a chicken egg, an egg situation, because it was the first bit of television I'd done. Even though I was very good at it, it wasn't the ability to do more without showing I could do more, and they wouldn't give me a chance. It's chicken egg. You understand the whole process. So what did I do? I left the UK. Not just because I was annoyed with it, but I found that if I wanted to have the opportunities to get more TV, I'd have to move down to London, and as a result of that, I didn't really want to live in the UK anymore. I wanted new opportunities. But what this did give me is the ability, because of the fame and the fortune of that very short period of time, to go in and choose a job that I wanted. I moved to Dubai, started working for a company called Juliana's as a DJ, and the rest you can Google. 99.999% of businesses don't know how to sell properly. There's a bit that's missing. It's called the Y formula. And we're going to find out from Richie Goldsborough exactly how you can get the Y formula, put it into your marketing plan, and boost your contacts like that.
Classic marketing has got this completely wrong forever. They've talked about, first, we have this, we do this, we got this, we offer this, we have this, and in no way engage the person who might be buying that product or service, as opposed to, let me talk about what I stand for, my values, my beliefs, all the things that you care about in your friends. Is the same way that entrepreneurs and small businesses connect with their customers online especially.
Find out how to create yours on the next show. Turbocharge your brand CV.